Good morning. Today is Friday, March the 31st. Somebody stole the first quarter of the year. I don't get this. Joining us this morning, Cal Poly Humboldt. It's flowing now.
It is.
Jen Capps is with us. Good morning, lady.
Good morning.
Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That? Oh, this is like an industrial. Why do we say assembly line?
Why do we say assembly line?
It would seem to be pretty straightforward, but...
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, because I would hate to mess up my 0 for 18 on this one, so let's...
Perfection is something to strive for, yes.
I would hate to mess that up.
Oh. Mass production of cars was late in starting. Henry Ford got the idea from watching an overhead trolley in a Chicago packing plant. In order to build automobiles in large quantity, he had Model T flywheel magnetos move slowly past workers who performed only one or two operations each. Production soared 400%, so he moved from magnetos to engines and transmissions and then to the complete vehicle. Model Ts in the making conveyed at 6 feet per second past work. That's pretty quick.
Wow.
Past workers who used standardized parts were sold at prices not imagined when cars were handmade luxuries. Hmm. Ford launched modern mass production, yet the workers soon complained that their jobs were monotonous. Kind of like pulling green chain, I guess.
Right.
Even when performed at the keyboard of a computer instead of beside a conveyor belt, any highly repetitive work is likely to be criticized as an assembly line job.
Okay.
So it really is properly described.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what the mystery is, so I should have just answered the question.
You could have.
I know.
Yeah, the balloons could have fallen from the ceiling and everything.
It would have been a magical day. Assembly line, that always makes me think of Lucille Ball. And I love Lucy in that. Oh, yeah, always. That's like the best show ever, but that's always what it makes me think of.
No kidding.
Yep.
Oh. So spring break's over?
Spring break's over. Yeah, spring break's over. It's now been 2 weeks ago, I guess. We had some cool things going on over spring break. Myself and a faculty member and a few administrators and staff took a group of students over to Cebu, the Philippines. When I first heard the city Cebu, I was like, I don't know where that is.
Sounds like a typo off of a certain vehicle,
right?
That we find driving around here. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's the southern part of the Philippines, but I've been working on a partnership with a school district there, and we're able to take our students over there and learn about the culture of the Philippines, but then also work with the local high school students at a very rural high school up in the hills called Sudlon. And our students did a lot of workshops with them, and it was actually amazing. Their students over there had never, for the most part, ever seen an American, like ever.
Oh, so this is pretty rural?
Yeah, it's a pretty rural spot, okay. Especially up in the hills. And the impact was incredible on both sides. So it was...
So your blue eyes scored points?
Yes.
Gotcha.
You did get me. It was, in some cases, myself and some of the students, it was literally like they were celebrities walking around.
Oh, really? Rock stars?
Like, whoa. Yes, okay. Yes. There were instances where... kids were screaming like a celebrity was walking by. It was bizarre.
A little heady, huh? Early on.
I think some of the students didn't know what to do with that. But the relationships with the students and kind of learning about the culture, I find the Philippines is an amazing place, but it's a place of contrasts, I think. There's a lot of poverty, but there's a lot of optimism, which is amazing to me. That country is hit often by natural disasters. Like, we experience a lot of weather. I feel like...
Yeah, they get typhoons and the real nasties.
A lot.
Yeah. Yeah, on a very regular basis.
Yeah. It's each time, and I've now been a couple of times, it's the next recovery from whatever terrible thing has happened. And and the fact that people are so happy and optimistic is interesting. They also have and a university there, Cebu Technological University, that's like a kind of like a polytechnic university. So we're looking at partnerships there to do research on climate and impact of weather and those types of things. So it's exciting. It was a neat experience to be able to spend that kind of time with our students. As an administrator, I don't get to spend that kind of time with students as often. And
so the students, when they were there, was it just to kind of see, experience, touch, feel, that kind of thing? Or did they have specific goals in mind when they went there?
Yeah, all of the above. So it was to experience a different culture, to learn about history and all sorts of pieces around the Philippines. But then they prepared pretty extensive workshops about all sorts of different things about American culture, food, but also things about like climate and emotional resilience, like some pretty intense and well thought out workshops that they worked with the students on. I was impressed. Our students are pretty impressive. What was neat too was we had students, and this is not me misspeaking. We had students ranging from the age of 20 to 79 on the trip. So we had somebody that was almost 80. She, in fact, her birthday's on the 30th. She'll be 80. And it was incredible, the impact of our students. And
she would fall under the heading of non-traditional?
She has multiple degrees and reports that, you know, me sitting at home is not the best way to live my life, and I'd like to get another degree. So she's like, I'm going to get an art degree. Why not? She has a PhD and was a teacher for a long time and just wants to continue to learn. It's an inspirational human. She moved quicker than me. I'm not sure if that's saying much, but
And the reference on this one is which?
I know. So it was a neat experience. So, yeah.
Cool. And you was there an awareness of their technical school prior to the visit, or?
Yeah. So this is a relationship that our president Jackson has with the school district there and then the university there, dating back from previous universities that he's worked at. So he had started this relationship many years ago and wasn't able to facilitate that relationship here right when he got here because of the pandemic, right? So we couldn't really travel.
Oh, I was thinking he probably had other things that he had to take care of first.
Oh, maybe. Maybe one or two things.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Like getting that gal from Colorado to show up?
Perhaps.
Okay, perhaps. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps from Humboldt. Jen, the concept of, well, I could have said Cal.
I know. You stumbled a little bit. You went back to Humboldt.
I was thinking about technical and sister school, all that kind of thing.
Right.
Lumberjacks, yeah.
All right. Got it all.
As you're looking into the future, whether it's with a relationship with this community or these communities in the Philippines, mm-hmm. or other elements, what is the role of a polytech? I mean, is it to do that outreach? I tend to think that most of us are in the camp that, well, that would be what the UCs do.
Oh, interesting.
Rather than something that a state university. But I guess a polytech is a different. I mean, yeah, technically, you're one of those, but it's kind of like there's a third type of school now?
Well, that's a good question. You know, one of the values in our strategic plan, something that President Jackson cares a lot about, and so do I, is our students to be like model global citizens. So to understand beyond Humboldt or beyond California, but kind of how the world works and be able to understand global economies and global culture and those pieces.
How about just the American economy? Yeah. That would be a novel concept for a lot of folks.
There you go. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And so the value in that is big. I think the other piece I would note, and then I'm not quite answering your question yet, but what I want to say is study abroad. So the ability for students to be able to go somewhere else and experience another culture, literally, whether it's out of California or, you know, in another state or another country, it's so impactful for our students that when they get to do that, their likelihood to continue on and get their degree skyrockets.
Because they see how it integrates into what
they do.
It's
such a meaningful experience to them. It opens their world and their mind. They connect with the other students on the trip so much that it creates this like peer network that helps support their success. And then they also see faculty and staff as people that they can actually talk to and share when they might be having a problem versus somebody that is kind of scary to them.
Well, yeah, just as people.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And in fact, our students were noting that on the trip. They're like, oh my gosh, like, you're a real person. Like, you're this big, important person, but you're like just kind of like a regular human being.
Well, you think about it, you know, that I think a lot of folks, if they don't know an individual, mm-hmm. they are a title.
Absolutely.
Rather than... No, the title doesn't define me. The title is what I do.
Absolutely.
And just to break that down, particularly if they haven't been around people with titles so that mm-hmm. that hasn't been normalized.
Yeah.
It punches through that pretty quick.
That's an incredibly important point. When I first got here, it'll be 3 years in July. It's hard to believe. And that first year and a half was all on Zoom. But I made my rounds to every department meeting. Every meeting I could, anybody who wanted to talk to me, I'd take a meeting with them. Because there was this assumption that the provost wouldn't talk to people on campus, to faculty. And I don't know what that was about. I'm not going to worry about that. But there is a
But that's probably a common template, though, that
perhaps
most schools have.
Yeah. And so it's been a real priority for me to, for lack of a better way to say it, show up. Be humanized a bit because it's really easy.
One of the crowd.
Yeah, it's really easy to dehumanize administrators and frankly for me to dehumanize faculty. But if we all know each other and are in spaces together, then I think it creates an opportunity to work together better. And I think actually that's why the Polytech thing happened is because we all had relationship and were able to kind of come together toward a common purpose. But you asked a question I didn't answer, like the role of a polytechnic in sort of international partnerships. I think that a lot of state schools do international partnerships. I did that at my previous state school. I think the interest in our campus has elevated significantly because of the polytechnic. And so international interest, people reach out to us in a way that's different. I think there definitely is some prestige associated with what polytechnic means. And so so that's really neat. I think it opens the door for us to get engaged in different opportunities that we didn't otherwise have. We're an interesting school, too, because our research profile, like the amount of research and grant dollars that we bring in, is significant. I mean, we're in the top three in the CSU system for research production. We're one of the smallest campuses, yet have one of the biggest output and of
How
research.
Come?
Because we're just amazing. No, I don't know.
Is it the location of the school that allows a lot of that to happen that maybe other areas
I truly think it's our faculty expertise. I think it is connection to some of the things like natural resources, ocean, forest, fire opportunities. I said we have some great partners that understand the value of of connecting with external partners and really focusing on what the real world problems are and not being as theoretical, but really being more practical. We could be as big as we want to be with respect to that.
You mean less UC and more State University?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You said it. I didn't say that.
No, I interpreted it.
Yeah. So, but it's incredible how much research productivity and the neat things that we're working on. So, yeah.
Well, and there are a lot of things to work on, too. You know,
there certainly are.
Yeah.
There's no question.
We'll talk about some of those when we come back.
Sure.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Provost Jen Cash from Humboldt.
I was going to say, where am I the provost?
The title.
Nobody knows what that means, by the way.
I figure if you have a title that nobody knows, either that means you're really influential or you've got a closet in the corner with a broom in it.
There you go.
One end of the spectrum.
Right.
It's not a tweener.
Deconstructing the title. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. So some of those projects you alluded to, obviously, I think the main engine for the school is and will always be enrollment. Okay. And that's not a seasonal. That's an ongoing all the time, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Is there more of an effort to get more potential students on campus from throughout the region now than what there was before? Or because the enrollment trending is so positive that you can kind of sit back and focus in other, take those resources and apply them into other areas so when these kids do arrive that it's a wow and a shock and awe?
I think what I believe historically has happened is we've sort of just gone with the trend of when enrollment went up, it went up. When it went down, it went down. And we didn't affect that very much. Now we were in a position where it was declining so much that we very much needed to have some sort of strategic plan to impact and increase enrollment, hence the polytechnic transformation, and that has really driven up the interest. And it, to me, again, people are like, "Well, wow, how did that happen?" And to me, it's not all that magical. You align academic programs with where there's workforce gaps, where student interest is.
That's the easy part.
Right?
I would think the internal commitment philosophically. That's where the heavy lift is.
Yeah, and that's why I say building those relationships and helping to get everybody on the same page with the value in doing that, because when you align with where the workforce gaps are, and then also what we also did was align with where the state of California outlined some of the big problems or things to address, like climate resilience, like fire mitigation, like all of these types of things, and our programs and our strengths as an institution actually already aligned with those things. We just weren't leading with our strengths, right? We were not leading with the strengths of our institution. So once we came forward with, oh my gosh, we have these amazing programs and faculty, we've always had a really strong research agenda. Part of what you're asking about with some of the research projects and things, I mean, a lot of people are familiar with the Schatz Energy Center that does a lot and consults and does projects globally with different places. But even just locally, I mean, we worked in partnership with the airport to get the solar grid so that when the power goes out, things can still operate. I mean, that's a very real example of the impact of SHOTS and the research that they do. Well,
power will never go out here.
Never, never, not at all. So, you know, wind energy is another big thing that's...
What are you hearing about the windmills?
Oh, my.
Do you think it's going to happen?
I do.
One side says, yeah. The other side says the technology to get that stuff on shore into this doesn't exist yet, et cetera. And it seems, you know, unfortunately, even though it's an economic driver, that the discussion points are aligned politically now, very much so, instead of trying to find, is this real, is it not real? Are we just going to be building these things and shipping them off somewhere else? Okay, are the whales going to be the challenge? I mean, all those different types of things, there's so many moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
For most of us that aren't dealing with it exclusively,
Right. It
just is confusing at this point.
Yeah, and I'm not an expert in wind, but I know enough to be dangerous. And what I would say, I think you're right about sort of the political pieces to it, but I think it very much is going to happen, and I think we have the potential to make it happen, and we're not the first to do it. So the problems that come up are pointed out. I mean, there are many places around the world who have done this successfully with the same types of barriers and considerations and have sort of blueprints for us to be able to overcome those things. So I do think it's very likely to happen, and there's a lot of focus. There's a lot of partners that are super interested in seeing it happen as well, and I think it will be really positive.
Yeah, I sense there's going to be a lot of money thrown at it to make it happen.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. And I value our institution in offering some expertise in that arena, like I say,
Are you starting to shift the curriculum into those arenas now, kind of on the front end, or are you going to wait for it to maybe have a declaration that it will in fact happen and then gear things up, because the lead time on this is still going to be rather elongated?
Yeah, I mean, we have one of the new academic programs launching in the fall is energy systems engineering, so it focuses on different types of just like what I said. So I mean, it's a
properly titled.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And so that's broad. It isn't only focused on wind energy, but it certainly can incorporate that and does, as well as other types of energy, clean energy.
What is the status of the on-campus living, or residence, I guess, is probably the way to say it. Is it the dorms? I've heard from a couple of folks that there's going to be some additional buildings coming online. Are you folks able to get that traction rolling on those things?
Yeah.
At this point, or are you running into some of the challenges that the private sector is off campus with resource access and the contractors and the subs and things of that nature?
No, we're on schedule. I mean, we have the Craftsman Mall project. That's the housing project just off of campus, and that's underway. And that there's several additional on-campus projects that are going to roll forward as well. It's just order of operations at this point.
Order of operations.
It's sort of, you need to do 1, 2, 3, 4. You can't do them
priority?
All, like, can't do them all at the same time. Right. Exactly.
See, I understand priority.
Okay.
Order of operations sounds like...
It sounds like a complicated math
program. Sounds like PhD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, eighth grade math.
Not the educational.
Okay.
The functional definition of those three letters. I got it.
All right.
That's three of them.
All right.
I'm on a roll. Watch out. We got four segment coming up.
Okay.
It's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Provost from Cal Poly Humboldt.
Well Jim done. Cap.
See, I can do it if I feel motivated.
You got it.
Some of the on-campus projects. Yeah, I think the Craftsman Mall, everybody's kind of talking about that one.
Right.
But there's some other things that are going on, either for housing related or for, I guess, instructional needs.
Yeah, there's an end. So sort of what I meant by order of operations is that we have several projects in the queue, but needing to get through kind of launching one and then working to launch the second and then the third and the fourth, right? So obviously that takes a lot of effort and a lot of logistics. And so once you launch one, then we can move to working to launch the next one. And so since the Craftsman one has been launched, we can move to the engineering and technology building, which is an academic building. And then that obviously by the title would suggest that that's where engineering programs are going to be all located in that space.
That's the one on the old baseball field.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there's also going to be some associated housing as well. We're still working through, you know, originally I think we were going to attach some housing to that building and have.
Oh.
And have
That's novel, isn't it?
It is kind of novel. It's expensive. Yeah. So we're rethinking rather than having them in one contiguous building, but having some additional housing associated with that academic space very close by or just in a slightly different spot on campus. But those two builds will be at around the same time. So we'll have more academic space and then also additional on-campus housing. The other thing I would share, and it's important to note when folks get worried about housing on campus and in the community, is what we're also doing is working on helping to get better indicators from prospective students about their intent to actually occupy on-campus housing. So stick with me for a minute. So when our enrollment was really bad, we stripped away a lot of the things that would tell us if students were actually going to come and occupy a dorm room, deposits. They don't have any skin in the game right now, so they can essentially say, yes, I want this dorm room. They'll be assigned a dorm room. And until the basically move-in, we don't have a good sense of if they're really actually coming. So at the end of the day, like when our census date comes, so census date meaning a couple weeks into the semester, that's when we kind of count how many students we have, and then we count and look at the dorms. We have many empty dorm rooms.
Really?
We do. And so it's because people commit and then at the last minute don't show up, or they decide they're not coming, or maybe they never had an intent to come. But there was nothing they were going to lose, right?
So it's not kids that are here, but they're living off campus because they found out that a buddy's here.
They could have done that too.
Okay.
They may have just been trying, well, I'm going to have the dorm be my safety spot, but I'm going to look for an apartment in town, or I'm dropping out, or I'm going to transfer.
Isn't it pretty common for schools to say all freshmen on campus, that's it?
It's really common. In fact, that's how we used to do it.
So it just, as things became more challenging, they kind of forgot about that?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
That's pretty straightforward and simple and anticipated, isn't it?
Yes. I think.
Okay.
It is pretty normal. I mean, what we're reverting back to is what we used to do, which was first year students priority to be on campus, and then some limited opportunities for returning students. And that was how we did it for quite a long time. When the pandemic hit and people stayed home and our enrollment tanked, we had so much space in the dorms that we didn't have to do any of that. We said, come one, come all, whoever wants to. And we had all sorts of vacancies. But because our enrollment is climbing, we have to go back to that
pre-pandemic.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was a surprise to people, and our communication could have been better about it. So it's sort of renorming our process again. And in the meantime, we're doing things to try to help support folks that can't be on campus because they don't meet that criteria.
You mean they're not freshmen?
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. cut through it again. Well, nice to see you again.
You too.
Don't let it be another 3 months before we see you, okay?
Sounds good.
All right.
All right.
See everybody else on Monday.